I did a bit of editing afterwards because it felt more like a conversation, and I think it flows a little better for you as a listener with some of the interruptions edited out and removed. This first segment is actually the preface to the interview where I explain who NashvilleRock.net is and what I'm trying to achieve with Under the Covers. I thought what Chris had to say was important, so I left this section in.
Well, what I do is I've got, and that's why I'm a little nervous. That is exactly, you brought up a point. That's a little bit why I'm skeptical about this in general, because I don't want the name August Christopher to show up in an article that says the word covers in it. But what I've gotten to is, because I do work 7 days a week, is like sometimes nine days a week. I mean, honestly, you know, it's sometimes 9 gigs a week. It is because or how it's happened is, like, August Christopher set this precedence of making money as a band that plays like 50-50 covers and originals. Now all these bars want to book August Christopher. I've got another band, I don't know if you've been to the website, but I got a band called CC3. Mm-mm. Chris Cheatham Trio.
Right.
Which is a blues, well, it's basically a blues band, but we play all covers. We don't play any originals. So whenever the clubs call, you're like, hey, man, we want to book August Christopher. I'm like, well, August Christopher doesn't play clubs anymore. We just do big festivals and stuff. We do like hour and a half.
But what I can offer you is
how? The CC3.
Right.
Yeah, what I can offer you now for less money is a band that'll play nothing but the shit y'all want to hear. We play nothing but Brown Eyed Girl, Mustang Sally, and Sit in the Dock of the Bay, and then we'll turn around and do Pearl Jam and Plush and all that shit. And we don't mind.
That's awesome.
We like playing that stuff. You know, we don't want to play originals. We want to play the dumb cover bands and play for free drinks and, you know, watch everybody get drunk and tell us that we're great and be mediocre.
You just don't want to confuse one persona with the other. So
but don't call it August Christopher.
Right. Fact,
there's a couple clubs that in the news, in like the magazines, like News For You was the magazine in particular, in Evansville, Indiana. It's a Tennessee, Indiana, Kentucky thing.
It's the free
weekly.
They
put a picture of August Christopher and said, yeah, August Christopher at so-and-so, and I called the club owner and canceled. And I said, we're not coming. He was like, why, man?
Because you build it wrong, yeah.
Right, it's called CC3. And everybody knows CC3 is members of August Christopher. In fact, sometimes it's three of the four members of August Christopher, believe it or not. It's actually the same exact band.
Yeah.
But we don't play any, you know, because we can't play a 200-seat bar and call it August Christopher. It belittles the band. You know what I mean? It belittles who we are, or who we're trying to say we are.
Right.
Whether that big or not, we want you to think we're that big.
So absolutely.
I was polite about it, but I was like, we're not coming, you know? And they're like, well, this is the last time you're ever going to play here. I said, well, that took the words right out of my mouth, you know? We had a really long conversation about what you were going to call this, you know what I mean? This is real quick. I don't know.
Right on.
Hello? Yes.
That voice sounds like Mark Niemer.
Mark Niemer? You know him?
Yeah.
Ha! That's funny.
You tell him you're talking to me. We'll know what's up.
Yeah, you know Jay Paul? Yeah, he's sitting over here talking to me right now, actually. That's who I'm talking to. Yeah, he said he recognized your voice from 8 feet away. I don't know, he said hello, which he just heard. That's cool. Well, hey, man, give me a call if you want later on, man. I mean, I got 2 gigs today, but I'll be around on my phone. So, I mean, if you want to chat more or otherwise.
So he said goodbye to Mark, and at this point, we started the interview.
Tell me about August Christopher or CC3.
Well, August Christopher is a band that I put together about 6 years ago because I want to be the biggest rock star in the world, you know? And that was the dream then, and that's the dream now, and I think we're 6 years closer.
Right on.
You know, we've got about 40 songs. We do about 4 hours of all, like tonight we're going to play for 4 hours. We won't play any covers, do all our own stuff, you know, but it started off with, I played drums. I still play drums for a Curb Records artist called Bombshell. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard of the female duo Bombshell, mm-hmm. Chuck Howard, Curb Records. But I played drums and all these gigs, and basically everybody was hooking up with all the chicks except for the drummer. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to meet girls, I'm going to be 6 foot. If I was going to meet girls, I got to learn to play guitar. So I picked up a guitar and learned a few chords and, you know, was a really bad singer. And basically all the clubs that I played drums at, I'd start schmoozing with the club owners, you know. And I didn't do it behind anybody's back. I mean, I was up front about it. I was like, hey, man, I got another band that we'd love to play here. We'll play here for next to nothing because we're just learning. And I was like, okay, cool. And I booked probably three dates. Springwater was the first gig I ever booked. I booked three gigs.
Of course.
Before there, yeah, everybody's first. Before there even was a band. This is in like 99. I booked three gigs. I didn't even have a, it was just me booking gigs.
Scrambling.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
So I called everybody I know, and I called basically the bass player in the band that I was playing drums in, because he and I were friends. I found a drummer who wasn't very good. I found a guitar player who was about as good as I was. And I wrote about five songs, you know, and we went over those five or six songs, and the rest of the night we just kind of won it. People were like, can you play this? We were like, well, can one of you guys play this? Yeah, well, we'll play it. And I would make up all the words. And in fact, a big part of our show now is freestyling. I do tons of freestyling all night long. I just, you know, like freestyle rapping. And it all came from, it initiated back 5-6 years ago, and I just didn't know the words. I just made up words, you know? I mean, if I didn't know the words, I'd jump on top of somebody's table and just shove my nads in their face and make up words. And
yeah, that's the big deal about requests, is because virtually any radio song, you can fake your way through it, but the lyrics...
Yeah, well, that was basically what happened, is I would fake my way through gigs, and... You know, we went from making $300 a night on the really cool gigs to making nothing, but like we made last night. But, like, we go from making $300 a night to, like, coming back and eventually, you know, having more songs that we'd learned, a few more songs that we'd written, you know. And basically, the way I look at the whole, because I know this is primarily you're talking about, like, covers versus originals. And the whole concept that I always had, that I have now is, even today, is... If you're gonna do this, you gotta know what you're doing this for. Am I gonna try to make a living? Because I do make a living. My wife doesn't work. You know, we got two kids, and I don't even. This is my job.
Very cool.
So that's good. But I don't want to make a living playing music. I want to rule the world. I want to be a fucking rock star.
Right.
So you have to say, okay, my reason for going to this club is to, yeah, get paid, but yeah, I have to get what I came here to get across. And so many bands lose that. You know, they're like, we got to play the covers, we got to play what they want. So I have a bartering system, is what I call it. And I talk to young bands about this all the time. They're getting started. I'm like, look, man, learn Brown Eyed Girl, learn Keep Your Hands to Yourself, learn Mustang Sally, learn those dumb songs, learn a couple of those new songs, learn that stupid Nickelback song that you can't stand, learn that stupid Pearl Jam song that you can't stand, but you're buying the audience's time. If you give them Brown Eyed Girl, then you get 5 minutes. So for every Brown Eyed Girl, you just bought 5 minutes. So you play the fuck out of Brown Eyed Girl like you wrote it, like you love it, like it's the best song in the world, and then you play a song you wrote. You know what I mean? And they'll sit through it because they just heard Brown Eyed Girl. But as soon as you're done with that song that you wrote, you got to play another song they want to hear. You know what I mean? So for every, like, three songs that they want to hear, you play a song that you want them to hear.
It's kind of a quota system.
It's a quota system.
Right.
It's bartering. It's, you know, it's checks and balances. I mean, not checks and balances, but it's like, you know, you're trading off with the audience. And the best thing that I started to do is I would write medleys around my original songs. Like, for example, we got a song called In Style, which is a rap song that happens to be in the key of E, and it happens to be the same tempo as Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. So we'll play our original In Style, and right in the middle of it, I'll throw a cowboy hat on and take my shirt off and start singing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Do like a verse and a chorus of that, get the crowd to scream along.